Finishing.com, the homepage of the finishing industry, presents the Metal Finishing Industry Update Podcast.
Hi, this is Kate Miner and Ted Mooney with update number 29 for the week of May 14th, 2007. We begin this week with the calendar of events through the end of May for the surface finishing industry. On May 15th, the Philadelphia branch of the AESF will have their branch meeting at the mill in Palmyra, New Jersey. Gary Vergeson of Vergeson Technology, Inc. will be speaking about PVD as chrome replacement. On May 15th through the 17th, Strategic Environmental Research and Development Program will hold a workshop on commercial applications of chromate alternatives for conversion coating and sealing at Hill Air Force Base in Ogden, Utah. On May 16th through the 18th, Spray Finishing Technology Workshop, presented by Binks and DeVilbiss and sponsored by Owens Community College, will be taking place in Toledo, Ohio. My interview with Dr. Richard Krupa, coordinator of the Spray Finishing Workshop, is available on the calendar page. On May 17th, the Silicon Valley branch of the AESF will have a branch meeting at Spin a Yarn Restaurant in Fremont, California. Frank Altmeyer will be speaking about cyanide and chrome issues that affect California metal finishers. On May 21st and 22nd, Kushner Electroplating School will be presenting Electroplating Know-How Basics Training Program in Buena Park, California. And on May 22nd, the Rochester branch of the AESF will be participating in the Frank Buchman Memorial Golf Tournament at Eagle Vale Golf Club in Rochester, New York. For more information on these events, please click on the calendar on our homepage. Seeking employment in the surface finishing industry? Then please check out our Help Wanteds. Posted on May 8th, Lusteron Products in Springfield, Massachusetts, has an opening for a laboratory director. Applicants must have a Bachelor of Science in Chemistry with experience in product development and formulation. For more information on this research chemist position, as well as all of the positions available, please click on the Help Wanteds button on our homepage.
This next segment could be entitled, Is Chrome Plating RoHS Compliant? The platers in the listening audience know the answer to this question, but it still comes up on Finishing.com at least once a week as buyers and engineers struggle to understand an issue which can be a little bit alien to them. Here is how one reader's confusion was expressed this week. Dear Mr. Mooney, the European Union has issued a directive, adhered to by automakers, which eliminated the use of chrome 6 and zinc with chromate surface treatments. This did not, however, affect products which use a decorative nickel chrome surface treatment. Why were the decorative chrome plated parts not affected? Submitted by the QC coordinator of an automotive fastener manufacturer. Dear QC coordinator, admittedly, this issue is very confusing for people who are not personally involved in metal finishing, because two very different metal finishing processes use chromium chemicals, and either trivalent chromium or hexavalent chromium may be used in either, and which one was used is important to the end user in one case, but not in the other. Let's talk chromium electroplating first. One step in the process is to immerse the parts into the chromium plating tank, apply electricity, and electrochemically deposit the bright metal that we see on truck bumpers and so on. Once a part leaves the tank and is thoroughly rinsed, the only chromium it has on it is metallic chrome. Metallic chrome doesn't have valence. It's not trivalent or hexavalent, and it makes no difference to the end user whether the manufacturer created that metal deposit by dipping the part into a tank that had trivalent chromium chemicals in it or hexavalent chemicals. While there are advantages to trivalent chromium electroplating baths, like lower fuming, reduced operator exposure, and water treatment costs, and there are advantages to hexavalent chromium baths, like lower cost, thicker deposits possible, more consistent color, they don't affect the safety of the product or the end user. In the case of chromate conversion coatings on zinc, however, the deposit is not chromium metal. It is a rather complex mixture of salts of chromium. At the risk of slight simplification, if the tank the part was dipped into had hexavalent chromium salts in it, the The deposit on the part is a hexavalent chromium salt, whereas if the tank it was dipped into contained only trivalent chromium salts, then it has only trivalent chromium salts on it. These hexavalent chromium salts that remain on the part are considered hazardous, and that's what's regulated by RoHS. We hope this clarified some of the confusion for you.
Here's a press release from the NASF announcing the 2007 Bright Design Challenge winners. The National Association for Surface Finishing is pleased to announce the winners of another very successful Bright Design Challenge. NASF, in partnership with the College for Creative Studies in Detroit, kicked off this year's project on February 13, 2007, with a theme of crossover vehicles. NASF would like to thank Adotech USA Inc., Cookson Electronics Enthone Inc., Kuntz Electroplating Inc., McDermid Inc., Process Technology, Roman Haas Electronic Materials, Sigma Plating Company Inc., Tascam Inc., Univertical, and Umura International Corporation for their support in sponsoring this year's challenge. The Bright Design Challenge, in its ninth year, is one of the surface finishing industry's most colorful and celebrated competitions aimed at promoting electroplated finishes in automotive design. According to Mike Kuntz, general manager of Kuntz Electroplating, Inc., and creator of the competition, quote, "Each year, the concepts get better and better. The Bright Design Challenge was created to help educate these young future automotive and transportation designers and stylists about the benefits and flexibility of surface finishing and electroplated surfaces. It's cool to think that the competition is now a part of the college's curriculum, and the students get excited about it each and every year. Indeed, we have seen some direct influences of this project on automotive design. Graduates of the school and the Bright Design Challenge have gone on to work for major automotive companies and have integrated Bright Design into their concept vehicles. We have seen direct evidence of these concepts at the North American International Automotive Show." Unquote. On April 17, 2007, with a total of 15 students, 4 judges, and several observers present, the final project judging occurred. After difficult judging due to so many high-quality projects, the judges decided upon the following results. First place, Nick Stone. Second place, June Yu. Third place, Michaela Kinrachin. An honorable mention, Sarah Montgomery and Tyler Mars. The 2007 Bright Design Challenge winner, Nick Stone, had the following to say about his experience in this year's challenge. Quote, "The NASF Bright Design Challenge was a great opportunity to explore new uses of bright metals in automotive design. Designing a vehicle around a material rather than a brand or demographic was an interesting departure from normal assignments. Having a mixed panel of designers and industry figures allowed for great feedback from different perspectives." Unquote. NASF is proud to support this critical program, which reaches out to the youth of our nation to encourage future generations to seek growth opportunities in the surface finishing industry. NASF would like to thank the college for their continued support of this important program. We would also like to recognize the NASF volunteers that dedicate their time to helping make the Bright Design Challenge a success year after year. John Kinney of Adotech USA, Mike Kuntz of Kuntz Electroplating Inc., Tony Reviere of Umura International Corporation, and Bill Saz of Tascam Inc. For more information about the Bright Design Challenge, please visit the NASF website at www.nasf.org.
Thanks for listening, and please tune in again next week.